Well, it's always a joy for us to have our missionaries come and give a report to us as to what is going on in their life. And we are so thankful for Brother Kraft and his sweet wife. Whatever happened to her? Oh, I could not expect it. But it's good to have you as well. My wife said when I went back there, you didn't even mention his wife. And so it's good to have your sweet wife. It's good to have you. Brother Kraft, come on up. You share with us what God's put on your heart. God bless you.
Well, amen. It's good to joy to be here with you tonight. And don't turn me down. I want everybody who's hard of hearing to hear me well. And that could be a number of people in here tonight. And so anyway, and God bless you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all that has taken place here at Harvest Baptist Church. And when you're a mission-minded church, you're a church that has the guarantee of God's blessing in your life. And so thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for supporting us like you have for these many, many years. And I remember coming the very first time, and I preached in the house over here. And it was a small group of people, but they were excited and excited about what God would do. And we're thankful how God has blessed in the work here. And certainly I'm thankful for the graciousness of Pastor and Mrs. Gray and all these years of serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this place. And we're also truly excited about Pastor and Mrs. Cook and God leading them here. And we're thankful for that. We have a camaraderie because we both were in military missions. Let me try to explain to you just very quickly, and we'll give a quick report too. But military missions is different than what you would normal missionary would do. Not that we're abnormal, but if you could picture it this way, a missionary to the military is actually a missionary pastor. The reason he takes support is because foreign governments require that income be guaranteed from the states in order for you to operate in a foreign country in that kind of setting. So we take support for that reason, but the goal, of course, would always be that we would build an indigenous church, one that would be able to stand on its own. That's biblical. And certainly, so if you think about that, just think about it this way. A much younger church, obviously, military personnel and civilians and all of that, in a church setting like this, and just take it and set it down in Germany. And then realize that the only people who stay are the pastor and his wife. And everybody else moves on because Uncle Sam sends them somewhere else. And so it's a constantly building kind of thing, and it's a mission station. And certainly we're at the forefront. I actually believe that the greatest example we could find today, what the book of Acts talks about, a New Testament church, would be found in a military church overseas. It's just an exciting place when God does what only God can do. And we're thankful tonight to be able to be here. It is a thrill for me, obviously, to have my wife with me. And we have worked together for almost 52 years. We've been, our 52nd anniversary will be in May. And we started in the ministry right after we got married and planned to help plant a new church. And then we're in the stateside ministry for a while. And then in 1982, God called us to missions overseas. And we went to Spain in early 1984. So 39 years ago, here probably a couple weeks from now, we went to Spain and got involved in military missions there at Torrejon Air Base, Spain. And certainly that was an amazing work that God blessed. In 5 years' time, 2,320 people came through. Nearly 500 were saved, and nearly 350 were baptized. It was a pastor pastoring a church that he could only dream could ever happen, that God could do something like that. And the truth is, God is the one who did it. We just have to be in the place where we ought to be, and God can do what only he can do. It's a thrill for me to have my pastor, who won me to Christ almost 64 years ago, with us tonight. He's flying back to Fresno, California tomorrow. I'm thankful that we could spend some time with him out there, and then he traveled with us here, and just to see a cousin he hadn't seen for 70 years. He's 93. He's still teaching Sunday school every Sunday morning. He's still preaching when he's needed. He's still door knocking every Saturday morning. I know he's abnormal. But we love him. We thank God for him. And thank God for the example that a heritage, you can't beat a heritage of families who serve the Lord and then the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And so it's certainly a thrill to have him here with us tonight. And then back in the 1980s, we met a young couple. She was from the Philippines and he was from Turlock, California, right? I hadn't forgotten. And they came to Torjon, Spain. And we saw some amazing things happen there. And what a thrill it was to see God do that kind of work in a place like that. Out in Okinawa, we met some more family that we will always be family. And we're thankful for the family that God brought in tonight to visit with us. We're thankful for Eric and Mayumi and Chihiro. And where's Akane? There's Akane back there, and we're thankful for them. And they go to another church here in town, but they came tonight. And then they brought some friends with them too, right? Somebody, was it Carlos? Is that what you said your name was? Are they your friends or your enemies?
We come here.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you do. We'll take that up later with you. It is a joy to see each of these, and it's amazing what God can do when he puts people together who are not blood related, and yet they're closer than those who are even blood related to you. It's an exciting thing to be a part of, and God's been so good to us. We've been so blessed, and we're thankful for the blessings of the Lord on the ministry that we've had a part in, and I'll just go back to the last three challenges that God gave us. The first challenge was to plant a church on the east side of Ramstein Air Force Base in 2006. We started in a hotel meeting room. We didn't have anybody, one family we kind of knew. And so we had a youth group from our sending church come, and they helped us pass out about 1,500 flyers. And we met. The very first Sunday we met was July the 4th weekend. Can you imagine that you'd have a first service on July the 4th weekend when everybody's chasing fireworks and going everywhere else? But we had five families that day. And then another family joined us the next Sunday. And out of those original six families, half of them stayed with us. Four of them stayed, and then one of them PCS'd out, and three others stayed. And from there started what was called the Heritage Baptist Church. And certainly we're thankful for what God did. In the early days, it was a real struggle. Yeah, it never is easy to do the Lord's work. There's always going to be battles. There's always going to be challenges. There's always going to be something taking place that will discourage you. And yet, when the Lord says, this is what I want you to do, then the God who calls is a God who also enables and the God who also provides. And so we worked through some difficult times. And then I remember one Sunday night, we had nine in a Sunday school room for our Sunday night attendance. But in just a few years' time, God built the church up to 165 on Sunday mornings and 125 on Sunday nights and 110 on Wednesday nights. And it was a really good church. I mean, it was a church that when you walked down the sidewalk before you ever entered the back door of the building, you knew something good was happening there. People told us that. You know, when God does something that only God can do, you will be amazed. It was a great church. Got a call in late 2012 about Maranatha Baptist Church out on Okinawa was needing some mature leadership to lead them. At that time in 2012, I was 63, and my wife was younger, and much younger. And so we went out and looked at it, and there were men out there that wanted to be trained for ministry, and that's what I've really dedicated a lot of my ministry to, and that looked like a great opportunity. In reality, it was not nearly as good a church as what we came from. Everything on the surface isn't always what it really is. So we had some real challenges, but in those challenges, we had some great victories and made some real family for life in that place. And the church grew in spite of opposition because, you know, the devil can't stop what God wants to do. And so the church had struggled quite a little bit, but it got to running about 300 on Sunday morning, 310, 315, 240 on Sunday night. That sounds like a church that could be indigenous, doesn't it? One that could operate on its own. I won't talk about that any further than to say that should have been what happened. When we had literally worn ourselves out for 11 straight years, we believed that God wanted us to move on and hoped that they would call a pastor to carry on the work. They made some different choices because of some of the influences they had, and so the church today is about a third the size it was when we left. And that's what happens when men get involved with God's work and they do things that only God should be doing and God should be leading in. So anyway, after that, we got a little bit of a break and then went back to Germany and planted, 4 years ago, planted another church called Grace Baptist Church. Today, it's in Landstuhl, Germany, on the other side of Ramstein Air Force Base. I tell you that there are at least 60,000 Americans there in that community. And so there's a lot of room for some good churches. And so today the church is in Landstuhl, which the first church we talked about was way on the other side, about 25 minutes away. This one was closer to Ramstein. We found a building. There were challenges there, too, that were COVID. We got to meet in, an old Mennonite church building that they wanted us to use, no charge. And 6 months later, a big wind came along and revealed that one of the roof trusses was completely broken because of woodworms. And we couldn't meet there anymore. So we had to meet on Sunday afternoons in their building. And so we thought, that's not going to ever work. Yet the truth is, God can do anything, any place, any time. And we're thankful for what God has done. The church is doing well today. We're thankful for what God is doing there. We turned it over to a younger pastor, half my age, and they're continuing the ministry and doing well in that ministry. We're thankful for your support and all that you have. I don't know how long you've been supporting us, but those who have supported us for the ministry, the nearly 40 years of military ministry, can count on about 10,000 people coming through the doors. It's just an amazing thing. It's really hard to realize the possibility of something like that. And so we're thankful for what God has done. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for supporting us. And what we're doing now, we're becoming available to fill in when it's needed, but we're also going to be a part of trying to help churches that do not have pastors, who need some kind of maturity to lead them maybe over a hump for a short term so they can find a pastor and keep the church open. Because there are a lot of churches like that today with a lot of challenges that way. And your new pastor knows all about that because he's been involved in that for several years. And so that's a real need out there. So I would encourage you to pray for us. And if you want one of our prayer cards, they're on the front row here. And I'd be glad to give you one if you'd like to pray for us in that regard. I'd like you to turn, if you will, just a few moments to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18, and these are the last words of the Apostle Peter. Now, the last words that anybody speaks are important words. And what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 18, but grow in grace. Grace has been described as the God-given desire and power to do what God would ask you to do. It's God-given. But grow in grace, and then it says, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So two things he said, grow in grace, and then grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and we'll get into this for just a few moments. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for this church, and I do pray that you will bless these moments and help us to realize that every time we open the word of God, we're talking about eternity and eternal things. And so help us to realize how important that is. And we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Or I'm going to ask Brother Sam. I'm not going to stay behind the pulpit, all right? So Brother Sam's going to come. And he likes me. I hope he'll still like me after this. But anyway, start right over there, okay? Because he's seen this before. Not exactly like this. But a long time ago. How long ago? When were you saved? Are you? 1971. Okay, he got saved in 1971, all right? So he started a journey. Just for the sake of illustration, I'm not Jesus Christ, I'm Brother Kraft, okay? But for the sake of illustration, he took the hand of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ saved him. And the intent of Christ was to be his Lord. That was his intent. That was his design. Now, Sam has moved along in his walk with the Lord. But he has faced over in this walk certain, you can still hold my hand, it's okay. All right, okay, the point is, he's faced moments of decision. Everybody in their journey called life will face many moments of decision. What we do with those moments, whether we go because of the way we feel, which is not the right way to go, or whether we go forward on the basis of biblical truth, which is the right way to go, we have to make the choice. Whatever our choice is, there are consequences or results for every choice. So as he's walked along, and I'm sure you have not made great decisions all the time in your life. Have you made some bad ones? Oh, yeah, right. One of them getting married was a good one, wasn't it? Okay, good. All right. So anyway, so he's walking along, but he's facing decisions all along through his life. Now, he's part of Harvest Baptist Church. You as a church family, which by the way is not the building, it's the people. You have made, at a moment of decision, you have made a decision that you believed was the will of God. Amen? What was that decision? Well, what was it? As a church. To call a pastor. Right. Good answer. You may get a blue ribbon yet. Okay. So the point is, now, the church has called a pastor. He can't be exactly like the former pastor. It's not possible. Amen? Go ahead, say amen. He should not be even required to be. Why? Because if this is God's will, and if you voted 97 or 98% that it was God's will, then you believed it was God's will, and so you came to this moment of a decision, and you decided, all right, on out here when things are a little bit different, I'm still in the will of God. I made that moment of decision. I'm still going forward. Amen? Good. You can be seated, I think. The reason I do that, folks, is because your attention span is really short. And especially young people. And young military families, you got to keep their attention, all right? So I learned to do that long ago. And why? Because if you can hear and feel and see, you can remember. And that's important. We use as many senses as we can when we're trying to connect with people, when we're trying to give truth out that is life-changing. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, towards the end of verse 12, Paul, writing to the Philippian church, he says, work out. What's it say? Okay. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All right, James says this, God wants to work out of your life what is a result of his righteousness so that you make a difference in this world in the area of winning people to Christ and influencing people for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it goes on to say, for it is God that worketh in you to will and do of his good pleasure. So the best thing Sam can do is say, okay, I'm going to work at it, but in reality, my work is putting myself in the hand of the one who will work out what he wants to in my life. I need to keep going the right direction. I need to keep growing in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote to them. It's a great book. I mean, the riches in Christ that we have as a church, and a church is not a building, it's people. And all of those riches we have in Christ are ours already. We just need to claim them. And he said to the church in Ephesus, and by the way, I heard years ago a great preacher say this, the book of Ephesus is about how to bring heaven down to earth while you're still here. And that happens in a New Testament church. That's where he intended or designed that that would take place. And if I'm hollering too much, just blame the military people that I had to preach to for so many years. You see, the Bible says in chapter 4, I think it's verse 11 or verse 12, speaking to the church, and he gave. And then he tells you what he gave the church. And then, of course, he talks about prophets and apostles. But the last two are pastors and teachers, and it's and, which means that's the same person, a pastor and teacher. And he said, I've given that to you. Now, what does he say in verse 12? What's it for? For the perfecting of the saints. Did you ever say years ago to your child, grow up? That's what God in heaven's saying. Grow up. And one of the ways he helps you grow up is through that wonderful book you're holding in your hand and a wonderful gift that he gives to a church called a pastor. What a gift. Now, the people are a gift to the pastor too. I mean, but he's emphasizing to the church in Ephesus what he has provided for them so they can grow. And then he goes on to say, what's the next one? For the work of the ministry. You know that Jesus Christ never intended for his church to have to hire people to do the work they're supposed to do. Amen? You don't hire somebody to do what God told you to do. So one of the things that he is a gift to the church for, one of the reasons he's a gift to the church for is because, you know, yes, growing, because that was a command, growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, growing, perfecting the saints, growing up, being different now because of the Word of God that has impacted your life. But then he said, for the work of the ministry. So if he's successful, and by the way, he can't, look, I can preach this chair forever. Move! It's not going to. It's not moving. It may say, I'm sanctified, I'm holy, I'm in a holy place, I'm not moving. That would be a Baptist chair, I believe. You know, the point is, God has given us wonderful gifts for the purpose of growth and the work of the ministry. Now, I'm glad he's here tonight because he's still knocking doors at going on 94. You say, well, he must be the bionic man or something. He must be, I mean, he's not normal. You're right, he's not. You know one of the reasons why he's not normal? He walks with the Lord every day. And God has preserved him for the purpose of encouraging every Sunday morning, staying up in Sunday school and teaching the Word of God and preaching regularly. and knocking doors. I mean, the Victory Baptist Church in Fresno, California, are blessed to have that kind of maturity that encourages them to go forward, because the very life itself says it is worth it. It's worth it to be a part of the ministry. So one of his challenges, one of the challenges of a pastor is to prepare people for the work of the ministry. You know that God wants you to enjoy seeing people get saved yourself personally? The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I could tell you story after story of people I had the privilege of knocking on their door. They visited the church. We had a big day. We had a special day, friend day, anniversary Sunday. I mean, we had all kinds of special days, and our people would invite somebody to come in, and they would come, and they would enjoy being in the services, and so then we would go back and visit in their home. And I remember in 1985 and 86, late 84 and 85 into early 1986, by the way, I'm about done in case you're wondering. I remember three families getting saved in a night, one night. I'm talking families, husband and wife, both. 15 people on a Sunday making their salvation public across the front. Now, people have changed a lot, and the challenges are greater. There's no doubt about that. But God is still the same. And to have been a part of seeing God do something like that, there's nothing like that. You know, to enjoy the fruit. I noticed out here in your parking lot, you have some orange trees. But somebody's already picked off the ones that are low. Maybe people just come through and pick the oranges off your tree and take off. I was able to jump up and get one and give them to my wife. You know, did you taste it? Did you taste the orange that I gave you? No? She's not hearing me. Okay. So, he wants you to enjoy the fruit. And so he gave you a gift. And notice what the last thing it says in Ephesians chapter 4. If you're used to short services, you've got one. Ephesians 4. Did we start at 7 or 6:30? He gave some, verse 11, chapter 4 of Ephesians, apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edification. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's his design. His design. He's for unity, isn't he? I mean, the devil is not for unity. But God's for unity. And one of the things that a good dose of the Word of God will help people grow, help understand the ministry God's given them to do personally, and then he'll build unity. And as he builds unity around the Word of God, that unity lends to encouragement and to people, encouraging other people to grow. And what it lends to is God doing something in the midst of the people that you look back and say, only God could do that. Only God could do that. And that's where we want to be. Amen? That's where we want to be. Because that's the place of blessing. There is, and I close with this, there's a family tonight that are very close to getting, in fact, the Parks know them, the Roper family. They're very close to getting to the island of Sicily as military missionaries. They were stationed here at Luke Air Force Base many years ago. She was lost. He was not living for God. They lost a child. They'd had two girls, but then they lost a child. Greatly impacted them. Not long after that, they were sent out to Okinawa to Kadena Air Force Base. And he had grown up in Lancaster. His mom and dad, especially his dad, went with Paul Chaplin and did a lot of soul winning. But his mom got a little crosswise with the church. And so when he was a young boy, maybe 10 or 12, they left the church. He wasn't in church for quite a while. In fact, he wasn't. When they came to Kadena, Okinawa, Kadena Air Force Base, they were going to the chapel, and he finally said to her one day, "This is not going to work." Now, he knew better. He was saved. But she wasn't. So he said, let's try some churches. So the first church they tried was Maranatha, and they never went anywhere else. But he said to her, now, we're not going to be fanatics about this. We'll go on Sunday morning and see what it's like. And they said all the way back. And we were glad they came and welcomed them. And I always stand at the back door and welcome everybody who comes and remember their names. That's important, to remember people's names. And he said to her, "Well, I wonder what Sunday night might be like." So they came on a Sunday night. They realized he didn't preach the same message on Sunday night he did on Sunday morning. They kind of liked it. He decided maybe go to Sunday school. And then he decided maybe go to Wednesday night. And one Sunday morning, I was saying at invitation time after I preached, "Why don't you surrender your pride and come forward and get saved?" And she walked down the aisle by herself from the very back of the auditorium. The auditorium would seat 350 people. And she came down and got saved. It was great. He came down and rededicated his life. They both got baptized, coming faithfully. She was a marathon runner, and they all had babies, so, you know, they pushed their strollers as they raced and ran and all that kind of thing. So they were called the stroller warriors. That's what they call themselves. So she was one of the leaders of that, and her co-leader said to her one day, "Why don't you head up a Bible study for us?" She knew there was something different about her. And so she came to me and she said, "Pastor, I'm a little uncomfortable with this. What should I do?" I said, "You go back and tell her you've got a Bible study on Sunday morning and welcome her to come." And she did that. And that friend got saved. 10 or 12 others of them got saved because she came to a moment of decision and said, "I need to seek some counsel about this. I'm a young Christian. I need to seek some counsel about this as to whether I should do this or not." And by the way, the church has God's blessing above all other things. And thank God for anything else that goes on, but the New Testament church has God's special blessing. He loved the church and gave himself for it. So they got committed and bringing people in, and people got saved. I would say 10 or 12 others of the wives and husbands got saved because she made that decision to say to her friend, "Won't you come to church with me on Sunday?" Well, today they're missionaries going to the military in Sicily. You don't think that brings me joy? You talk about whooping up one. That's the kind of stories that will get you in heaven's mood. There are lots of them. And you know, God loves people. Jesus loves people. John chapter 4, he met a woman who he knew she would be there. And he talked to her about living water. And she turned to Christ and went back and told everybody else They all came out. Doesn't take very many, but it does take a few. And I can tell you story after story, but I'm not going to do that. Let me have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor, and he can carry on from there. Father, thank you for the wonderful word of God. Thank you for the wonderful gifts that you've given us in the New Testament church for their purpose of it going forward. And thank you for the fact that we can realize that as we surrender to you, it is you who work in us to will and do of your good pleasure. We're thankful for the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We do thank you for all the things that we enjoy because of who you are. And Lord, none of us are anything special. You are. And when we surrender to you, you can do what only you can do in our midst. We thank you and praise you for who you are. Bless these dear people. Thank you for them and their ministry here in this area. And my, it's a growing area with such a great need. We pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.